Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, I think the game ended the way we thought it would, but it really didn't start the way we thought it would.
No, that was a dogfight. Yeah, you're right. The score, you look just the score. Okay, they pulled away, but they were in a fight. You know, they were getting booed at home as they had to punt in the second quarter. They needed a late drive in the second quarter to have a small lead at halftime. It was, I think, more of a struggle. Even though we said the Bengals have talent, I think you still expected Brady to come in and roll and boom, boom, boom all over the
first
field.
First homecoming game, the whole
thing.
It
didn't work out that way.
What you saw, whatever it was, halfway through the third quarter, for the rest of the, I think they scored in the last four times they had the ball, something like that. That's what I expected from Jump Street. And you're right, the score was pretty much dead on what we all sort of anticipated, but that's not the way we thought it was going to get there.
And you got to give the Bengals some credit. I thought they had a good plan going
in. Well.
They were able to get pressure without sending extra men, and that meant more people in coverage. Brady had time at times.
Well, it was a combination.
No one was open.
They I think, had some slow-developing routes, and you know, it was a little weird because they didn't have the tight end duo on the field together early in the game. It seemed like it was a lot of Gronkowski with Bennett on the sideline. Then Gronk would go off, and Bennett would get a few reps, and I thought that was a little weird. But then we said the one way the Bengals could win, right, the nightmare scenario is that defensive front taking advantage of the offensive line. And you saw some of that. I thought Brady was under pressure early. I thought he started to kind of be affected by it, looking for pressure, looking around him, behind him, different things. But he was able to work through that eventually in the second half and then pull away.
And then Gronk, though, just, I mean, like, you come away. We saw what it can look like against Cleveland, but then he talked during the week and explained again how this is it. I mean, I got my legs underneath me, no excuses. I am basically telling you I'm 100%. And you saw, I mean, 162 yards. I continue to be amazed. We always talk about how, and we'll look ahead to Pittsburgh a little bit later on in the show, with Le'Veon Bell, I imagine, is going to be a focal point, and how Bill Belichick always takes away the number one thing. He never lets the number one thing completely destroy a game. But yet, every week, we see the Patriots are able to get their number one thing, in this case, Rob Gronkowski, to completely dominate a game. And that's at least partly due to Belichick's preparation and the coaching of Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels. I never cease to be amazed
by that. But it's the greatness of Gronk.
Right.
I mean,
when
a 6'6 guy can get open like that, he's going to have his way with
it. But do you think Belichick would take Gronk away if he played the Patriots?
Yes.
There's
Bill has taken away a lot of great players. That's what he does. If he decides, I'm going to take that away, other teams don't do that with Gronk. And you're right. He's great. It's hard to do.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some examples of when the Patriots played some great players, and that player had his way, but the Patriots still won.
There are plenty of. Well, I'll give you one in Atlanta when Tony Gonzalez caught like 13 balls a couple of years ago, and the Patriots still won the game.
Right.
But and it might be a situation like A.J. Green. The Patriots didn't completely shut him down.
Nope.
He's an excellent wide receiver. He made some plays. He had almost 100 yards receiving, but he didn't take the game over the way, say, Odell Beckham did in the Giants game, where he's getting, you know, eight catches for 220-plus yards and a couple of touchdowns to win the game.
Right.
Belichick never lets that happen.
Yeah, he contains it.
He completely loses control of one guy, and you lose the game
as a
result.
You're right.
And that's what jump-started them. Between Gronk and James White, jump-started them on the drive late in the second quarter to make sure they went into halftime with a lead, and then later in the game, White was your leading receiver in terms of receptions. Eight receptions. Gronk had 160 yards. Those two guys took advantage of matchups in the middle of the field. I think the bigger linebackers, I think they realized we have an athletic advantage here with White and Gronk doing damage underneath and down the middle, and those guys helped you.
And you see the three touchdowns, the two touchdowns for White and the Gronk touchdown were all basically the same play, same formation. It was very similar. I mean, there was probably some subtle differences that I don't know as not being a football coach, but it looked to me it was the same kind of option routes. Carlos Dansby was an hour and a half late getting out to the flat on James White on the first one. I know, but he's a pretty good player. I mean, he looked like a rank amateur on that play. And then the next time they decide, all right, well, you jumped on White in the flat. We'll go to Gronk over here. And Brady makes a great throw down low where only his guy's going to get it. And Gronk gets it every time.
Right.
To me, it was just like the combination of how good they are. Yeah, you say with a guy as good as Gronk is, and he is great. But it's also the preparation that goes into it. I'm sure that there was some matchup situations that they wanted to lock into. They're probably not letting Cincinnati sub all the time and getting them into the defenses that they want. That all takes place during the week. And easy, just easy pitches and catches.
This was also one of those games where the turning point of the game was almost universally agreed upon, and that was when Hightower, you know, got the safety in the end zone on Dalton. And it just seemed from that point on, Patriots get the ball back, go down, score seven. It's a 9-point swing, and that was it. That was the game.
Reading a lot of the clips and even the press conference with Marvin Lewis post-game, there were a lot of people talking about, I think it was like a four-minute span that they were emphasizing there, where it all unraveled. All the work they had put in, not only the week leading up to, but the effort in the first half to be in the game, have a lead in the second half, just totally unraveled. And Hightower, you know, it's funny, we've alternated here. Jamie Collins was the big-time player against the Texans, huge game. Now Collins is inactive with a hip injury, boom. Hightower steps up and says, okay, I'll have 13 tackles, 10 solos, sack and a half. I'll be the one who's everywhere today.
And then when you get done with that segment that Andy's talking about, that little span that the Patriots completely took the game over, and then you saw the Bengals become the Bengals.
Well, that's the thing. And you know, and I wrote about it in this issue, and that's something we need to keep an eye on. I think there's going to be a lot of teams that the Patriots are going to face coming up that whose seasons are not going the way they want. And the Patriots are going to start rolling on them, and they're going to become frustrated. And the chippiness we saw in this game, we might see it in other games too, and the Patriots have to be careful about that.
And Bill is going to nip it in the bud. There's no doubt this week.
They can't go to that level.
A week after Cyrus Jones was ejected, he was inactive. And then Bill called Rob Gronkowski over immediately after the penalty, had a long conversation with him, and what did Gronk say immediately postgame? That's my fault. I got to do better. That is going to be drilled into them these couple weeks here because you're right. It's been an issue losing your composure, and it goes back to camp. He's talked about that all along. You can't get penalties. You can't lose your composure.
It's not about you.
You can't get ejected.
Right.
It's
when
why
you
he
do
has
that,
the Brian Stork rule. Right. You're immediately ejected in practice if you throw a punch.
Use the Brian
because he knows it'll cost you sooner or later, and he knows they're going to get some of that.
You're playing a team this week in the Pittsburgh Steelers who's been known to, you know, get mouthy on the field. They're probably going to be without their starting quarterback and probably...
You know he's been ruled out by the head coach,
right?
Okay. I know you think the backup quarterback said Ben might play, but he's been ruled out by Mike Tomlin.
So you go into this game thinking, okay, we're probably not going to win this one, but we might see them again in the playoffs. Let's give them a message. So the Patriots have to worry about that.
James Harrison, I know he's not sort of the Vontaze Burfict now, but he used to be the guy who was the getting in trouble with the commissioner, always on the suspension, watch list, all that. So there's a guy on that side of it. They're an emotional team.
Plus,
I would agree.
You never know, Tomlin
might run out and trip somebody.
You got to have your head up on the other sideline. You never know. You get clotheslined by the coach.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T. Mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart was supposed to be a matchup of top 10 passing attacks. Unfortunately, not going to happen. Ben Roethlisberger, knee injury, out. But that shouldn't change the game plan for the Patriots. Throw the ball early, throw the ball often in Pittsburgh. Steelers defense, pass defense in particular, stinks. 30th against the pass. 31st in sacks per pass play. 8 sacks all year. They don't have an interception by anybody in the secondary. They can't cover, and Tom Brady can continue to evolve. I know he's made it look easy, but he has new weapons. Get more comfortable with Hogan. Get more comfortable with Bennett. Continue to spread the ball around. Throw, 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 and win at Heinz Field.
I'm going to continue the theme here of things that were supposed to happen, supposed to be a big part of this game in Pittsburgh, and that's obviously the Patriots secondary going against Ben Roethlisberger, but that's not going to happen. And just because that's the case doesn't mean it's not still an issue. I think the Patriots are still searching for a third cornerback. They've used 3 different guys the last 3 weeks, Justin Coleman, Cyrus Jones, and now it's Eric Rowe. And I'm not sure Bill Belichick feels comfortable with any of those guys, and I'm sure that I don't feel comfortable with any of those guys having to step into a starting role if something were to happen to Malcolm Butler or Logan Ryan. So this is an area that goes back to last year for me, and it never came to fruition. But I'd like to see a little bit more depth, and I'd like to see some consistency, because at some point the Patriots are going to need some more players to cover in that defensive backfield. Whether Landry Jones can take advantage of it or not remains to be seen, but it's still an issue.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk, we have a little disappointment. Ben Roethlisberger not playing, so this game isn't living up to the preseason hype. Paul Perillo, the question is, what's the toughest game remaining on the schedule?
I definitely had Pittsburgh in the mix. That's out. It's got to be Seattle now. And I know the Patriots have this one at home, so that makes it a little bit easier, certainly than going out to Seattle and having to play in that environment with those nutballs out there. But the Seahawks, to me, have the toughness. They have the balance on offense and defense. They have some playmakers. Jimmy Graham is coming on. I know it's going to be a Sunday night primetime environment here in Foxborough in a few weeks. That's the toughest game left.
Toughest game is the trip to Denver, because that's Tom Brady's kryptonite. For whatever reason, going to Denver is a problem. And, oh, by the way, beyond that, the simple, you have an offensive line that's coming off its worst performance against the Bengals. Well, guess what? The Broncos are still good up front. They still have a guy named Von Miller who's looking to make your life miserable. They still have guys that can cover. They probably have the best secondary that might be able to match up with your depth of weapons. I know the quarterback question there is you know, iffy, but so was it last year.
Yeah.
They had no quarterback play last year, and you lost to them. Going to Denver is a tough nut.
Yeah, the only one about that is the actual venue. I think in Denver is a tough nut.
That's where the game is.
But the rest of it, I don't think it's the same. I think the defense is chipped away.
Von Miller, Marcus Cannon, you like that matchup.
Are you already watching the Denver defense? I think, to me, it's already starting to show the stress of having to carry the whole team. This is now a year and a half they're going on, completely having to carry 100% of the load. Seattle doesn't have that. The Seattle defense isn't quite what it was either, okay? Mm-hmm. But they still are pretty good. They're still a decent defense that can slow you down. But offensively, Seattle can get hot. And I mentioned Jimmy Graham earlier. Russell Wilson is as dangerous as any quarterback in football. Let's say,
No more beast mode.
He might not do it as conventionally as Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers when they're on fire, or even Ben Roethlisberger. But we know how dangerous he can be. They're starting to run the football a little bit better. So I think when you have a team like Seattle that can play that style, they can play offense, defense, that travels well. I think they can come into Foxborough and give the Patriots all they can handle.
Except they don't always travel well. In theory, you're right. But in practice, it doesn't always play out that way. They're coming all the way across the country, which is, oh, by the way, what you're doing to play in the altitude, yeah, in Denver. You have demons. I don't care what they say. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady know that they struggle in Denver.
Yep.
That is a part of the reality. And then I get back to you. I don't think that defense has taken as big a step back as you apparently do. I still think they are a major challenge for this offense. I've been promoting this offense, the depth of the weapons, the ability they have. But that team can give you a challenge defensively beyond just, it's at Mile High.
I don't just pencil that in as a win. I know.
I pencil it in as a loss right now.
I don't think it's an easy game. Well, I'll hold you to that. I'll guarantee you have a different story in
probably
December. But the thing about Seattle, too, I think what gives them problems when they travel across the country to the East Coast is you're playing at 10 o'clock in the morning. They don't have to worry about that. Now, this is a primetime game. I think you get a little bit more acclimated to the situation, to the environment. Pete Carroll, I think, is still a pretty good coach, despite that questionable call he had at the end of the Super
Bowl. He can't make that mistake again. Marshawn's not there.
Well, he could fail to give it to somebody else. And
he could
throw it to Malcolm Butler again.
I'm going to stick with Denver, and it's simply, it's a house of horrors. And we've seen it in different ways. We've seen it unfold differently, but the result is usually the same. It doesn't work. It doesn't look right in Denver. And that's a fear. Yeah,
you know what? Long way to go. I don't think they'll lose to either one of them.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Lots of talk lately on dropping TV ratings in the NFL. We'll see if they continue to decline. If they do, it will likely be for a number of reasons rather than a single factor. But one issue, believe it or not, might be how the league is reporting its own news. Here are the topics that led NFL.com this Monday after a day of football. Roethlisberger needs surgery. NFL reviewing the perfect low hit. Frank Gore complaining about losing. Vince Wilfork complaining about fans leaving early. Michael Bennett complaining about a cut block. Oh, and Rex Ryan telling us his Bills play boring football. I'm not saying NFL.com should turn into a PR spin machine, but come on. Nothing good happened on Sunday? Ezekiel Elliott? Gronk? Texans beating the Colts in OT? The Colts losing is always good news. There's a lot of negative news in the world right now, and I'm sure at least some fans turn to the NFL to get away from it. NFL.com editors should keep that in mind when choosing what to highlight. unless you truly want to be the no fun league.
Players Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joined now in the Patriots locker room by defensive end Chris Long. And Chris, this week, you got to prepare for a backup quarterback. What have you seen on film from Landry Jones as you prepare for the Steelers?
Well, I'm really just preparing for whoever lines up under center. I mean, certainly they're two different players, but you can never rule anybody out, even if they say Big Ben's out. So you just got to be ready for anything. And their offense is deep and explosive no matter who's under center. So you have to look at it as a complete unit and two really, really good running backs, wide receiving core that's really good, you know, a younger tight end core that is kind of up and coming and probably one of the best O-lines in the league. So whoever's under center is going to be a challenge.
How about yourself? You got a sort of a new lease on life here in New England. I know you've talked about it's about winning and not necessarily you. But how do you feel like you have settled in now that you're six games into your Patriots career?
I mean, it's fun. I mean, you know, it's a new challenge every day. Your role is whatever it is that day, and just trying to embrace that and go with it. And that challenge can be different, you know, from week to week. So having that mindset of open-mindedness and just excitement to come to work and play with these great guys in this locker room and have a chance to win every Sunday. I mean, you know, just with great coaches and unselfish players.
Speaking of meshing well, it seemed like immediately upon arrival here, you and Rob Ninkovich, I don't know if bromance is the right word, but you guys seem to hit it off. What is that relationship and why did it click so quickly?
I mean, we're both older guys, you know, seen a lot in the league and, you know, certainly always respected his game before I got here. I'm sure, you know, we knew a lot of each other just from watching film. And so, you know, it's been fun to kind of watch him work and kind of learn from each other a little bit. And, you know, when he's not showing up to my house at 10 o'clock at night with a clown mask on like he did. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. He's actually a pretty good friend, but other than stuff like that.
How about his criticism of your, is it a man bun? You want to show that to the camera?
Yeah,
he thinks it's pretty lame. You seem to think it's cool.
Well, he doesn't have the ability to grow a man bun, so he's disqualified. So I can understand why he might feel threatened by it. I'm not a big fan of his, what do you call that haircut? High and tight, what is that? High and very tight.
Yeah, high and tight.
Yeah. No, you know, he likes to stay on me, but that's what makes work fun. You know, showing up with guys every day that want to have fun and work hard, and that's Rob's all about that.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, it's time to take your questions here in PFW, but first, the Wilson Hart Power Index. Let's see who doesn't deserve to be where they are this week.
I'm guessing the answer to that question is the Buffalo Bills, if Fred Kirsch were doing the test, because the Bills moved from number 7 last week up to the number 2 spot this week, where they are ahead of your New England Patriots. Yes, a team that they beat. Remember that. The Patriots are number 4, stayed even at number 4. Vikings stay at number 1, obviously, but 2, 3, and 4, very, very close. So the Patriots are nipping right at the Bills' heels.
We're talking about decimal points here?
Decimal points, yes. Off to the 1,000, Fred Kirsch. You know who's not close?
The New York Jets. All right, our first question comes from Gregorio, and he says, is Trey Jackson coming back from PUP a better option than Shaq Mason?
While I do think Trey Jackson is the closest of the PUP guys to returning, he's been out on the practice field a little bit, warming up, loosening him up before practice. Coach Belichick said this week he probably would not start officially the window and practicing. I'm not sure he's a better option than Shaq Mason.
I think that they're both much better than Ted Karras at this stage. So
depth.
Add your depth.
All right, Andrew Silbert wants to know, are the Bills the biggest threat in the AFC to the Patriots?
In the whole AFC?
Yep.
I would say no. I would say they're the only threat in the AFC East. And, you know, maybe we can look ahead a couple of weeks. That could be an interesting game. But in the entire conference, I still think that Denver is a team that's worth looking at. If for nothing else, their home field advantage. That's a house of horrors for the Patriots. So you want to make sure that you do not have to play any potential playoff game in Denver. And I don't think Roethlisberger is going to be out long term, so I would still put Pittsburgh in that mix. Both of those teams I would put well ahead of Buffalo in the
I have the
hierarchy.
Raiders ahead of Buffalo, too, as well. Mm-hmm. I think they're a young team that is on the come, as Paul Brewer likes to say. Don't you worry about the Wilson Hart Power Index.
No one
you
else
leave
does.
That to me.
No one else does. Why should you worry about it?
Right. Aaron wants to know about the color rush and the idea of changing your helmet.
Decals.
He's very upset because he feels that Denver had a different helmet, and we've told our fans that you can't have
right.
a second helmet.
Denver had the same helmet on. They changed the decal. They had a throwback decal on the same helmet. Patriots could do the same thing. They could either put Pat Patriot on a silver helmet, the ones they use now, or they could even get a full helmet wrap and try to do something that way. That is not the only reason they haven't done throwbacks. But I don't know any plan of the Patriots to do throwbacks, to use the decal, but
no.
The Broncos didn't cheat. The NFL didn't make an exception for them. They changed a decal.
All right. Robert Miles is looking ahead. He wants to know, who would you want to play against in the Super Bowl? I personally would like to take it to Dak Prescott and the boys, but I don't want them to have the privilege of getting there. Plus, I feel like their tailback could give us problems.
Well, can we choose anyone? How about the Niners?
Right.
No.
We play the Jets in the Super Bowl somehow.
And I think he's saying,
I would look ahead.
Too.
I'm going to go fun and just strictly based off Seattle.
Sure.
I think a rematch of that game, that was one of the greatest games I think the Super Bowl has seen. Patriots have been involved in a lot of great Super Bowls, but I think a rematch just a couple years ago, Seattle will be my pick.
I like the Cowboys one, though. That's sort of, you know, America's former team with America's current team.
Big ratings.
And can you imagine if Jerry Jones gets that close and then you tear it out from underneath him in Texas, in Houston? That would be fun to watch.
Good stuff. All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.